Oh boy.
We're live.
Ooh, we are. We're live. We're back. It's action. Episode. Action cut.
Okay. we gotta cut.
No. Get crazy.
So guys, here's a little special Jersey Shore family reunion secret. We're recording this very shortly after we recorded the episode for episodes 1 and 2.
Wow, like, you might even say it's the same
immediately
night.
Immediately blew our cover.
We blew it, and I did too. We made you a cake! guys, we're back. We're Jersey Shore family reunion part 2. We're following Jersey Shore Family Vacation Part 2, and we're talking about episode 3 tonight, which was called The Truth About Ronnie.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we were doing titles.
Yeah, we forgot to say last time it was It's Complicated in O Canada. So, Zach still isn't our family. He's still on, quote-unquote, vacation, honeymoon, whatever.
He's not our family, and I'm starting to think he's not even our family.
Ooh.
I'm starting to feel that way, too.
Is that too far?
Oh, he's not even a family. But here's the cool thing. So you got me, Becky. You got Colin Drummond. You got Brian Fithian. And today we have a special guest.
What?
Her name is Jackie Dow. Actually, Jackie Fithian. Actually, it's Jackie Dow, but she's married to Brian. She's also the creator, writer, director of Little Hope, which is a web series premiering at ITV Fest in October. Say hello.
Hi.
We're so happy to have you here. Jackie's an avid fan of Jersey Shore.
Did I do a good job? Brian's
Brian's giving
me a look like I did a bad job already.
You haven't even said anything. You're doing great.
There's a little bit of a strange high.
Brian's actually quickly becoming the Ronnie of our group. Why did you do that?
So we brought Jackie in because she's got some hot takes on this episode. Also, we're recording in her apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in Brian's apartment, but
it was convenient.
It was convenient.
She swore she would have hot takes.
What I'm trying to say is, it was just easier to do it this way.
Okay, so we're gonna jump right into episode 3. I feel like because that's what they did.
Yeah, totally.
When we left off of O Canada, episode 2, Ron and Jen Harley, his baby mama, had gotten into like a fight about nothing. They told us nothing that they told us about. And he spiraled and became bad Ronnie, not Jesus Ronnie. And then this entire episode basically is that.
In the suite at Planet Hollywood with Ronnie crying throughout the entire
thing.
Almost a bottle episode.
It almost is.
Damn near close to a bottle episode.
Except for when the gang goes out to gamble so that they could get the, like, comic relief of Snooki, like, losing at penny slots.
I appreciated that because that's my experience every time I've gone gambling, is that it seems like everyone I go with is doing all right, and I just immediately lose all of my money.
Right, you go to the blackjack table for, like, 2 rounds, and you're like, I suck, I'm losing money. And then you go to the slot machines, and you still lose.
Yeah.
Well, and there's no technique to slots, so, like, why,
just sitting
why
there,
are we losing so much? Yeah.
And why do I feel other so bad win? About it? Yeah.
When Jackie and I were in Las Vegas, we did not gamble much. We decided on our last day to go do, like, one of the... Now all the slots are like video games, it feels like.
Yeah.
So we did one slot machine, and we put in a dollar, and we lost that dollar so fast that we were like, man, people sit here for hours. They must be just...
Well, because they're doing pennies.
Can you do pennies in all of them?
Maybe nine.
I don't think all the casinos would have like really, really...
Yeah, that sounds like one of the
slots.
Cheaper ones. Yeah. okay, so we jump right in. We're in the suite at Planet Hollywood. And JWoww is...
Two beds, one Ronnie.
Yes. JWoww's willing to throw Jen under the bus. And everybody's trying to give good advice, which in this case is like, you need a lawyer.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So is this
spectacular advice.
Does it come out at the end of episode 2, or is it right at the beginning where he's basically like, the situation is I'm worried about losing my daughter?
I think that's like
that
sort of
that must have been teaser. Yeah, it must have been the bridge.
I think it straddles the episodes.
And then immediately everyone like... JWoww jumps ship on Jen, but everyone else immediately is also like, okay, this is a serious situation.
Definitely get a lawyer for sure.
Yeah, I feel like Brian and I were just fully like, this just got so much more real. Like, if you think back 10 years, like, what they were worried about, yeah. It's just like, yeah. Now they're all crying in a room over Ronnie not being able to see his kid. Like, this is...
Which that's is so true. Real.
Yeah. It's so real.
And, like, I remember watching season one of the reunion, or the vacation, part one, Jersey Shore Family Vacation part one.
Yes.
And feeling like, okay, it's not the same level of drama as... the first season. One of my hopes and dreams would be that there's a little bit more drama. They find a way to include that. And they were like, oh, that's what you want, Colin?
This okay. guy, this sincerely flawed man who still does have rights as a father.
Yeah.
Is under the impression he has no rights as a father.
And also, like isn't really working with a fully stacked deck. Like, no. it's like so abundantly clear that his IQ is very low.
Yeah, and it's so, like, all the advice that they're giving him, which all of it is sound advice, he's like, you're not me.
Yeah.
You don't get right. it. And it's like, yeah. still take my advice, though.
And it's like, Polly's been through
Polly is exactly Polly has this. Done this. Yeah.
So, maybe yeah. not with as crazy of a woman, but like,
but maybe, no, we but don't know. Said, maybe he just kept a lid on it.
He yeah. said they fought
and
hard, like, yeah.
An attorney is the first step.
Well, when there's a kid involved in its, yeah. and it's custody,
yeah.
it doesn't matter if you're the two most level-headed people in the world, it still would be upsetting to a large yeah. degree. Yeah. Like, that's got to be one of the most upsetting things that can happen to you.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's just like, Polly couldn't be laying it out more clearly. Like, why it makes sense and why he should do it. And he just is making up all these excuses... as though it would be harder for him to have a 45-minute conversation with a lawyer.
Right.
Like, that would be harder than just, like, plugging away at whatever this is.
Trying to be in love with... Well, yeah. Okay, so I do think... Okay, getting right on it. I think that one of the main issues is Ron's not willing to make it litigious because he could still be in love with her. Like, if
I think that
if you guys, well, you guys are married, mm-hmm. if you guys weren't married and you'd have decided to have a child and you were in love but fighting, it would be like kind of a big step to be like, let's get a lawyer involved and still also be in love. You know,
that's, you're right. That's true.
That is true. But
I mean, I do have a divorce attorney that I see every week just in case.
Once a week,
45 minutes or so,
just to check in. But I do think that. Like, this relationship has not been love for a very long time. Like, it doesn't feel like they're,
I think,
like...
they don't know that. I between... think they're stupid.
Wow.
I bet they, like, still... I bet they are physically intimate, like, I'd say 5 or 6 times a month.
What a weird...
Well, because... No, but this is important because...
Because
last
for Ronnie,
time,
that might think... Like, I he think thinks we're still that's in love. That's what I mean.
I think that we were talking about this last time, where how, like, they get back, they break
really
up
specific.
And it's so bitter, and then they get back together and they're in love again. Mm-hmm. And clearly them getting back together and being in love again is that they had sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I bet, like, they're into the same stuff.
They're fighting bitterly and then they had sex, so they're in love again.
Yeah. Which I'm is so, like, glad we figured all of our stuff out.
Yeah, we're back together, we're in love.
Yeah.
Okay. That's definitely nice. I don't think it's accurate.
Well, it goes back to all of, in the last season, all of Ron's, like, waffling about and then asking him, you know, do you actually want to be in a relationship with this woman? And I think he wants to have a relationship. He wants that his relationship to be good and perfect and the way it should be. That's not happening, mm-hmm. but I think he's not separating that. I would like for this relationship to work out and be good, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah. I guess that doesn't make him, like, crazy for, like, that he's hanging on a little longer than everyone else, that he doesn't quite see that, like, this is over. Like, this is just, this just has no shot.
Well, they just had their baby, and I think it's a
but
very tender...
But look how long
tender...
it took him to see that with Sam.
Yeah, but she wasn't pregnant.
That's true.
They've been together for a year and 9 months of it. She was pregnant? Was that right? Or were they together for a year before she got pregnant?
No, I don't think they, I don't know. I do not think they were together for a whole year.
So, I feel like the situation of... you're with a woman, you're not married, she's pregnant with your child, is so specific that you can't be like, look, you're pregnant, we're going to share custody, I want to get a lawyer involved, I'm no longer in love with you, please keep carrying my child safely, thank you, you'll hear from my lawyer. Like, I think people try their very hardest, more than any other situation, to be optimistic about the relationship while they're pregnant.
Yeah, that's...
I mean, maybe that's coming out of nowhere, like, that's purely hypothetical, but that sounds right.
I think you're probably right. I also, though, think the situation is not that unique. Like, people have kids with people that they're not married to all the time. Well, people also, get divorced. It's not that unique. It's like, just do it the way other people do it. Like, they involve a lawyer, they figure it out. Yeah. Like, it's like, either they figure it out civilly or they don't. But, like...
They're having a child and they're not married. In this case specifically, it makes sense to just have your legal rights written out.
And, if you're at all concerned about this child, which they seem to be, it's like, you gotta look out for Ariana. Please, Ariana Sky, come on.
At this point,
Ariana Sky.
Anything that a lawyer would do could only be an improvement on the current situation, even from a romantic perspective. Because right now, they're just fighting. At least if they had
having
a lawyer.
Sex 5 to 6 times a month and fighting.
Five to six times a month.
It's not right.
They're like fighting, and at least a lawyer, by making the rules clearer, would give them one fewer thing to fight about. Maybe they actually would have a better shot of like getting along,
but
and then maybe.
They'd have a built-in scapegoat.
Maybe
they get, oh, he's the one who wants this thing. Thank God we're.
Exactly. Yeah. Throw the lawyer under the bus. Oh, this nerd says that
Shaq.
I yeah.
Right now we got a common enemy.
Freaking nerd. Okay, so early on, JWoww says Ron has battered wife syndrome. I wrote a note to myself to research that, and I never did. But
is it an actual syndrome?
I wouldn't doubt that it is, but I don't think Ron has it.
I don't think so.
That could be right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so this is around the time that Polly says, you gotta fight for your right as a father. And everyone flips their shit. And Vinny, especially UCB-trained Vinny, who has done Beastie Boys Hotspot, knows how to make that keep going.
He does some incredible, if this is true, what else is true?
Yes.
You've got people at the club. If you hear what I'm saying, make some noise, Ronnie.
Ugh.
Love it.
Okay.
It's also, doesn't Polly say, like, I'm always on melody?
Oh, yeah, so I'm always on beat. Yeah, yeah.
Well, okay. He should say I'm always on beat, but I think he says, like, I'm always on tune.
Vinny says, it was even the melody.
Oh, yeah.
And then Polly's like, I'm always on beat.
Yeah, Polly corrects him.
Right, Polly knows.
DJ.
Polly knows.
Oh, no, what was the other thing that Vinny does is he's like, that's your kid. He's like, he does the... Yeah.
He's like, oh, single ladies in the house.
Kid. Yeah. Oh, yeah, single ladies.
Yikes. All right, well, it's good that they've all got some comedy left in them. It's around this point when Ronnie threatens to go home, which, who knows what that means. He's in Vegas, so he's not going anywhere. If he's going home, does that mean he's going to Jen's house to try to see the baby? He has a house with Jen, but surely he also still has his own.
They've got one of those, like, suburban Vegas mansions.
Mm-hmm. Like, what does going home mean? He's like, he's basically saying, I'm going to go confront Jen.
Yeah, definitely. That's what he means.
Or at least, I'm leaving the show.
Which still doesn't make any sense.
I'm going to go drive around pissed off because I only want one cameraman right now.
I only want one cameraman. I want to blow some coke in my car's bathroom.
But this also opens up such an incredible new world of behind the scenes Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
Because here's where all the producers come in.
Yes.
I think it's the same producer from the first season.
Sarah Howell. I wrote her name down.
I just chose not to break that fourth wall. But, like, there are, like, 15 people in the room with them at any
given point. It's so crazy to think about. It's
and
one of the things that makes
part of
me
the family,
really...
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Half of the
yes.
family is
That's
missing.
What broke it for
These
me.
People also, they're so ready for TV that we fully, wholeheartedly believe there's only seven to eight of them in a room at once.
Yeah.
And there's at least, like, 14.
Yeah. Well, this is going backwards a little bit. But when they're at Dre's, there's a moment where Ronnie's like, I'm going to just hang out. And it seems like he's hanging out alone. But before they cut away, he just starts talking to a cameraman. They just don't play the sound. He's just like, he's not alone. He's like
he's
hanging out
alone.
With these people.
Okay, so producers are coming out. Sarah Howell is like, where do you think you're going, Ronnie? And he says something. I wrote it down because I thought it's not a malapropism. I just think it's something important. He says, being away from her is not going to make me a better person. It's just not.
I mean, what does that mean?
You didn't have a baby so that...
Being away from a her, Jen, or
being away from her, Ariana, is not going to make me a better person.
No. Was that ever...
Being near her wasn't designed to make you a better person.
Yeah.
You have to take care of this human.
As we talked about producers, I only agreed to come on this second part two of the show because it was going to make me a better person to be away from my child.
It was going to make it look like I'm a good person because there's a baby involved now and I'm struggling.
I did have the thought, like, is this what he thinks this show is about?
Exactly,
like,
right?
Is this, like, is therapeutic that... for him?
Newsflash, he's a narcissist and he can't imagine that anything is about anything other than making him better or making him happy or fulfilling something that has to do directly with him. Like, it's...
Yeah. I mean, I think... Oh, I think that this is going to sound weird. I think that Ariana has one thing going for her, which is that, you know, she might have two crazy parents, but
money?
She will be a deeply privileged kid.
And she cute.
She's cute, she privileged.
Jackie and I are very shallow in very different ways.
When Ron is with her, he's a good
He's attentive.
Dad.
But,
yes.
But what happens when she's older than four and outwits him... Like what? Like how?
At the age of like six, when she outwits him.
Let's take a pause.
My only rule: never fall in love with the Jersey Shore. Never, ever, ever, ever.
Are we all recording?
Right. Yes, we took a little break. So yes, Ron is Sam. I am Sam.
Where are we? I am Ron. Ron, I am. Mm-hmm.
So at this point in the episode, Polly and Ronnie are having a heart-to-heart with two of the producers outside in the hallway.
Yes.
As everyone else is having their own little mini discussions.
Mm-hmm. And Polly really is the best person to come out there and coach him.
Has literally been through this.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which, like, no one's making enough of in the first, like, 20 minutes of this episode. It's like, wait, can we all just shut up and listen to Polly since he's the only one who's been through this?
Everyone
like, think about
up.
The situation. What are you doing? He's like, well, I'm in a sort of different situation.
But here's the name of my lawyer that I got for paternity issues.
It's like, let's just talk to Polly, dude.
Yikes. Meanwhile, so they're having this important heart-to-heart, which is, like, I felt like a great view of Polly. We don't usually get to see into Polly's real, true emotional world, and we really are seeing this.
Yeah, he will very rarely lean on somebody and say, you have to do this. You can't do this. Like, he's giving orders to Ronnie.
Because
that's what Ronnie needs.
Which he's very reluctant to do.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Vinny and Situation are having their quote off.
Which is...
Very,
very good.
Very sensitive editing.
Instead of a roast battle, which, by the way, if there are any two people who would be well set up for a roast battle, probably would be Vinny and Mike. They're
the
ones
They'd
who usually win.
Yeah.
I mean, Polly would be okay at it, but Polly is obviously more of a hype man.
He's above it.
Ronnie and JWoww have proven to be underdogs in roast battles.
Grenade whistle! So, yeah, but Mike and Vinny have elected, instead of to doing a negative thing, they've done a positive thing. My favorite thing was when you're setting off, Mike says when you're setting a slingshot, it's not a set back, but a set up.
Love that.
I like that. That applies to my life, I feel.
My favorite one is also one of Mike's, which is, you know, the devil whispered in my ear. He said... You can't, what is it, you're
you
not strong enough,
storm.
Yeah, you can't weather the storm.
Yeah.
And I said, I am the storm.
I whispered back
to the devil.
Hey, devil, hey, devil, I am the storm. So I love that because it really resonates, but what does it mean?
I have no idea. It's just my favorite because it's the longest. That's my
so
only reason.
So one night, back in the middle of the summer, I was on a boat and there was a storm brewing. A squall.
It's also, like, these are all actual quotes, or, like, they exist on motivational posters somewhere.
Which Mike and Vinny have the most experience with.
Yeah.
Clearly, both of them have at least one of those picture, a still life of nature surrounded by black, like, a thick black border with the, you know, teamwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What it means when you're one of several rocks, not just one rock.
Yeah. Like in their home gyms. For sure.
My grandparents, my Nana and Papa had a poster, full-size poster in their basement that they decided to hang on to for some reason. That was the cat, like, hanging on a branch or something and said, hang in there.
That's amazing.
I mean, that's, like, worth money at this point.
Could you imagine hold on to that. If that were part of the quote-off?
Just hang in there.
Okay, so everybody gets back together. JWoww and Snooki are also having, like, a little convo. Clearly, JWoww's over this Mother's Day thing.
That's very good because the audience and all of her friends have been over it for
before a week and a half. Honk-spewing it, which is my new way of saying
honk-shoo.
You know what I mean?
Love it.
It's over. We don't care. Okay, and then they go to bed. Now, I personally am having a confusing time with the understanding the passage of time on this show. It looks like but I can't see.
Jackie,
he's over there
pointing at our cat who
he's eating, which is why I'm pointing at him.
Yeah.
So I can't tell the passage of time for any of this.
A normal thing for a cat to do.
It was noteworthy.
The girls got in at what I thought was nighttime because the boys were about to go to dinner, but then they're like changing into PJs and staying away, and it's like 11 a.m. That was from last episode. This time, you know, it seemed like nobody's gone out to dinner, right?
Yeah, they go out to dinner much later.
But they're all in bed, and then the next scene is Mike sneaking out for breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, but don't they all go eat something, and that's where Mike, like, orders the appetizers?
That was the end of episode two.
That's still episode two, okay. We just reviewed it.
No, you're thinking of the place that's Vegas. He gets Kalamat twice. He gets Kalamat on Guy's
Night. I'm confusing
Night,
the times that...
Yeah. And that, like, Casa de something, which, so, as they describe it, is...
Which is
it's like Las Vegas' Rivoli's. It's literally what they call it.
Which is where
I thought it really
Snooki wanted the hot and cold appetizers.
Yeah, that's where they got that by. That's later.
Right, okay.
Oh, my God.
All right. Sorry.
Well, so, okay. Jeez. So Mike sneaks out in the
it's
morning
okay.
alone.
It's your first time.
Well, clearly.
The whole point is that it's confusing. Like, yeah. I don't know when we are in the day.
And you're right. It doesn't help things that they're in bed under covers the entire time.
And
it's like,
reality
is this a nap?
Show, yeah, that reality show people take naps in pajamas all the time.
Yeah.
And casinos don't have windows on purpose.
And, like, more often than not, it's a nap. It's rarely that they're, like, going
Who's
to bed for the night.
And Vegas buffets definitely have scrambled eggs all day.
24/7.
There's no way they're ever putting those scrambled eggs away.
I know one person who's putting those scrambled eggs away.
Well, amen.
The grenade whistle!
We are famously trying to get our own reality TV show out
Could
of this podcast.
Could you imagine if they would give us our own TV show?
We'd nail it. VH1, MTV, Nat Geo, Animal Planet.
Is right now the time to talk about all of our Jersey Shore combos that we are?
Yeah, I guess it is.
So Colin is part Vinny, part Uncle Nino.
I thought
Uncle Nino.
Yeah, definitely Pauly D, because Colin likes pranks, and he's the only one who would, like, yell at people to wake up. That's definitely...
Yes, and also stick his cane in a sandball.
That everybody really loves about Pauly D.
Yeah. It's all the things... It's all in Pauly D's best quality. Yeah. We're just bringing him out.
And he's very funny.
Very funny, very sweet guy.
Part Snooki, part who?
You said you were a cross between JWoww and Dina, but then we all insisted that you were part Snooki, too.
You're the American sweetheart of this podcast.
I certainly am. I certainly am. It's undeniable. Brian, what are you?
I feel like I'm Vinny because I'm kind of the impressionable one.
I almost feel like Vinny and Sitch, which is crazy because there's so few things you have in common. Maybe like Vinny and New Sitch.
I hate that I'm married to somebody that's not even a little bit Pauly D.
Because you're Pauly D and who? JWoww?
Sammy Sweetheart.
You're Pauly D and Sammy?
One thing that you guys should all know about Jackie is
she's the sweetest bitch you'll ever meet.
She's not Italian at all. She's going to want you to think that she's Italian, that she's got, like, this Italian family. She's not Italian at all.
She's sitting here.
Don't believe it.
Not Italian.
She's I don't even know what bright, to do with that.
Bright, curly, red hair.
Like, for instance, pronounce calamari for us right now.
Calamot.
Well, never mind.
Calamot. Did I?
Never mind.
I peaked it.
Okay, she got it.
Sorry.
No, I think we're going to have to cut it out, unfortunately.
Ooh, okay. All right. Okay. So Mike's sneaking around getting breakfast so Keto Guido won't catch him. But ironically, most of the stuff on his plate
is pretty healthy.
Keto. Well, it's not healthy, but it's meat.
Yeah,
like
right.
He has
he's eating, like, eggs
he
and bacon.
A, yeah,
eggs,
like an, bacon. An a keto-approved plate until he puts one biscuit on it.
Yeah.
And, like, one
and
waffle.
And a Danish.
And a Danish.
And a big old Danish. Right. And he does go for the pastries.
God, Danish. What, one of my favorite breakfast words, because plural of Danish is still Danish.
Mm.
And I love it.
I'll have
it.
A couple Danish.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's really speaking to me. Okay.
Cinnamon snail at Penn Station. Great
snail.
Vegan, great vegan Danish. Just saying.
Where, what store is that?
It's in the Pensy, the new food court at Penn Station. Pensy.
I didn't know that was a food court.
Ooh, it's incredible. You gotta
oh,
go.
It's a good food court.
Lord.
Pensy, cinnamon
okay,
snail. You're gonna love it.
That's amazing.
That's our new sponsor.
Okay, so Mike sneaks out for breakfast, and everybody else wakes up. Now, I was a little bit. Was I the only one who was a little stressed that Mike would have to pretend that he hadn't eaten breakfast yet when everybody else wants to eat breakfast because they glided right past that.
But I definitely had that thought, but I was not stressed because I figured Mike could surely keep eating if
and
he
like,
wanted
honestly,
to.
And honestly, it would have been a hilarious bit because he could have been like, "I think I'll just have some cereal," and Benny would have been like, "All right."
Yeah. You're being so good.
Yeah. I just don't have much of an appetite. But then they go down to breakfast. They don't go down to breakfast. They don't go down to the casino and straight up gamble. Starting
yeah,
at, right. I'm guessing, 10:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Snooki doesn't. Snooki can't add, so she's bad at blackjack.
Yeah, she's so frustrated when she loses. Which is
I
like,
feel like
you know,
she's not trying very hard though. Like
it's not
no.
that hard a game. I mean, it's certainly hard to like win,
right?
But it's not hard to understand the concept.
Most people could.
I feel like she's like had like 7 mimosas or something.
Probably.
Like,
look,
she's
yeah.
just like whatever.
I don't know optimal blackjack strategy, but I know enough to know that you could learn it in an afternoon. You could learn
less than an afternoon.
Perfect blackjack strategy in an afternoon.
Do you right. remember when Apple computers were still like Mac Performa? Like they were like, you know, very small, maybe like a foot cube. And the screen
disk.
Itself was teeny, and the floppy disk. And they had games mm-hmm. on it, like
oh,
the,
yeah.
the helicopter game where, like, there's a hay cart on the bottom and a helicopter on top, and you had to click to make the man jump off the helicopter to land on the hay cart at the right time.
I don't know.
This
that
is
sounds
a deep
so
cut.
Fun, though.
Yeah,
they, you guys aren't as old as I am, perhaps. Okay, but
high
one of the
stakes.
Games...
What
he was
if
born
misses.
In 1924.
I was born in 1924. We had Prodigy then to get into the internet. But one of the games was blackjack, and I, as a child, was like, I get it.
Yeah.
It didn't take much. I was
no,
like, probably 6.
And the truth is, you can't win unless you're cheating, unless you're playing with a team. You can't win.
Or you can count cards.
But they don't let you do that because they, well, because the thing about that is if you count cards by yourself, so I'm a big fan of the book Bringing Down the House, hate
oh,
the movie 21.
Yeah.
But the thing about counting cards.
They were from Harvard, right? Or
they were from MIT.
Okay.
Lame.
I know. A bunch of fucking nerds. But, like, the thing about counting cards by yourself is you'd have to sit there betting the minimum all night.
It would be very
and
obvious.
And then when the
when
count
you...
got hot, you'd have to start betting 100 times what you'd been betting all mm. night. So the only way to really count cards and not get caught is to do it in a team, and that is cheating because you're sharing information.
It's insider trading on a...
Basically,
an illegal gambling game.
Yeah. The people who had teams that were actually successful that did it... They were signaling to one another to come to the table.
When it was hot.
Because they'd have one guy that was going around just spending tons of money at every table he went to. And then the people who were just sitting and keeping the count would say, this table's hot, come to this table now.
That's very clever. And
great book.
And I understand the entire concept now, now that you've explained it.
So, Snooki, if you're listening.
Snooki, why don't you read another... It's not your book. It's not one of your books.
Yeah. But
so
he needs a team of MIT swimmers.
Yeah,
to like just keep the count
I'm sure
for
she
just,
has that.
Just come over when the count is hot. That's all she needs to do. Just have some PA do it, Snooks. Have some PA learn how to count cards to tell you when the count's hot.
Well, and also surely this one table that they're all playing at is a fake table anyway that's set up because they can't. Like, they're not going to let them come in and film on the casino floor.
Nothing is real.
You're so right. They're just like, that dealer was so beautiful. Your best looking dealer, please.
This is the dealer we use when it's going to be on TV.
Yeah.
Come to Planet Hollywood, all the dealers look like this.
Right. So either while that's happening or right after that happens, Vinny beckons a cameraman over to watch Situation P. Through not one but two doors of a bathroom that Sitch left open. So I don't remember who left what open and who is invited. Like, there's no way. If I were the cameraman and Vinny were like, come here, look, I'd be like, I really don't think so. I doubt I'm supposed to look into a bathroom.
It's our one rule, Vinny.
I was going to say, I feel like there's no situation where the cameraman is allowed to be like, I can't do that. I have ethics. Yeah.
I
have morals.
I don't know. I feel like the camera guys are adept at finding the slimmest of cracks into bathrooms. Yeah,
that's a really good point.
Well, and that's why it was so important to Ronnie that he figured out whether this door works.
See if this door works. Please help me figure out if this door works.
Because if this door doesn't work, everyone's going to see us having sex.
Do you remember the season where, I think it was maybe the first time they go to Miami, in the original run, when JWoww was, like, naked after a shower, and the door to the bathroom was frosted glass, and Snooki walked by and was like, I see you. I see all of you. You're fully naked. I can see you. And JWoww was like, what? And then she called the boys over to look, and the cameraman had such a view into it that they had to blur through the frosted glass.
Yeah, I guess that's probably...
Nothing's off limits.
That's probably how they train the cameraman, is, like, get the shot, and if we have to, we'll blur it later. But you get it.
I think the one rule is, if we have to.
I'll be so mad at you, Jason.
Get any other crew or cameras in the shot. But you can
starting to even break that rule now.
Yeah, in part one, there was a shot of a cameraman. Who was it? It was when the stalker showed up.
Oh, yeah.
And she was standing right behind Polly in the booth, and they got a picture. They got a shot of another cameraman going, oh!
I mean, not to go too far forward in this episode, but, like, in the, like, preview for what was about to happen, they show two camera guys running away when Jen Harley comes in.
They're like,
it got so real that the camera guys had to run away. They're breaking that wall. Yeah,
but there's that moment when, again, jumping ahead, when Jen and her you know, fembot friend come in, and they
who are you?
And one of the producers, it's not like the actors, the characters are breaking the fourth wall, but one of the producers interjects and is like, I'm just going to cut in because I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, and said to come at 7:30 or 8.
Yeah.
That was the first time that I've seen that a producer didn't step in because someone was trying to leave.
Right.
Like, that would be like if we were in, like, the Hunger Games or something and somebody escaped through a boundary and then a guard was like, halt. This was a guard coming in and being like, No.
Right.
Being a cast member, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, but what's important is Mike pees through his shorts leg.
I'm so glad you brought this up because you wrote down notes and I was like, I don't have any notes for this.
Hot take.
But this is the one thing that stuck in my mind, despite all of the Ron everything that was going on. This is so bizarre.
This is like the D plot, but it really stuck with Colin.
It's like finding out.
That was unintentional, but very good.
D plot. My mom's dog, old dog.
Also pees like that.
He wouldn't go upstairs. When she first adopted him, he, like, refused to go upstairs. And we were like, that's funny. He's got a personality. and then eventually he started going upstairs, but... my mom had said he goes up the stairs backwards, and I was like, I can't picture that. And one night, I like caught him. He didn't realize I was at the top of the staircase when he started going up the stairs. And sure enough, he went up halfway frontwards, and then turned around and went up the other half backwards.
That's the cutest thing ever.
And I took a video of it. And it was like that. Like, catching Mike peeing through his shorts leg was like, I caught you, you little weirdo. What are you doing?
Well, like, Vinny said, because he's wearing, like, sweatpants. Vinny was like, why didn't you just, like, pull the whole thing down? Right. And he was Mike, like, didn't occur to me. He like kind of like looked up in the sky. He's like, oh, yeah, that didn't occur to me at the time. It's like, at the time.
You like, don't you pee every time? Day?
You've been peeing for 40 multiple years, you idiot.
He's like, it's my first time trying it through the shorts leg.
Yeah, that's not his first time peeing through a shorts leg, by the way.
It's also, when he indicated what he did, it wasn't just a, like, pulling up the shorts leg. He was also using, like, the underwear gap thing and going through that, which you could do that.
But wait, he went through the gap and then through
I
the shorts?
I think he went
leg?
Through the gap and under the shorts.
So much fabric to, like,
the
navigate?
Underwear pole of his
I
leg.
I think he went through the underwear fly and then the shorts leg. I think Colin's right.
Why not underwear leg, shorts leg?
I agree.
Can you imagine
the most difficult way you could do it?
Why not close the door and just pull the whole thing down?
There's so much fabric gathered.
Just sit down.
Yeah, or just sit. Yeah, guys.
Maybe
he wasn't.
Was he not wearing underwear at all?
He made it seem like he definitely was, and.
Or was he just going through both legs, like the underwear leg and the?
That's what I thought. At
first. That's what would make sense to me.
Yeah.
This is a public service announcement. Guys who are standing up every time they pee, you're missing out. Take a seat every once in a while.
Pull it all down.
Just take a seat.
It's literally a chair.
Yeah, it's a chair. It's there for a reason.
Yeah, we figured it out.
And then you don't even have to worry about if there's toilet paper or not. I think guys kind of take that for granted.
Exactly.
There's no situation where it's just okay that there's no toilet paper.
Situation.
For women.
Situation. Unless you're gathering like 12 pounds of fabric around.
In which case, please,
why?
Please. Okay, so everybody wakes up. Mike has 8 breakfasts. This is all before Ron wakes up to begin with.
Mike's like a hobbit.
The next day.
Second breakfast.
Can I just note that Mike, just sorry to interrupt, but
yeah.
Mike looks bad. Like, he needs to get on this.
Oh, yeah.
It's no longer like, oh, he eats a lot. It's like, Mike.
Jackie and I also
he's
both
really
noticed
unraveling.
That his hair dye is way too dark.
He's looking like a
He
real...
looks like he's dressed up as a vampire. For Halloween.
He's got something going on.
His hair dye is just way too dark. I get it. Like, you know, your hair would naturally be salt and pepper. You're not ready for that. Fine. Whatever. It's too dark.
He can afford it.
He's like wearing blousy t-shirts. Like,
oh my God.
All of his
t-shirts have been bad.
His whole wardrobe is bonkers.
It's really out of control.
I appreciate his deep part. I think his haircut is good.
I don't hate the part or the cut. It's just too dark. It's unnaturally dark.
It's really strange.
Looks fake.
Mike is struggling, but at the same time, Mike is his best personality he's ever been. So.
Oh, totally.
Absolutely.
So. He's having it's almost confusing.
It's a trade-off.
It's like simultaneous renaissance.
Because he also looked better, but didn't look as good when they were in the original series. Like, he was thinner, but if you walk... I dealt with this a lot. I would try to watch the original run during part one of Family Vacation, and it was like off-putting how sweaty and weaselly and thin and sharp he looked.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
He looked like needle-ish. Like, it was just very like, who is this bad guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Sorry, I had to just interject.
He doesn't look at his best.
No.
Okay,
but he does need to fix his hair.
Yeah.
So Ron wakes up at 3 p.m., goes to see his lawyer at night, and then Jen shows up.
Right.
As he's gone.
Too early.
Thank God JWoww and Snooki are like the first people to explain where Ron is.
Yeah.
Because
as
she was asking where is Ron, I was like, what are they going to say?
Situation would have just revealed it. He would have been like, he's his lawyer. And then everybody would have looked at him and he's like, oh, is that a secret?
Yikes. Yeah. He just stepped out to the office.
Legal
city hall.
What did they say? They just say like
JWoww was like, "I swear to God, we don't know."
She's like, "Honestly, I would tell you."
She did the smart thing. Yeah. This is how you lie. You use the truth, and then you just turn a little bit of it. So she's like, "We all went downstairs to gamble, and when we came back up, he was gone."
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So she's not lying.
And I wish I could tell you, but I can't tell you where he is. I don't know. She's lying. She's using the truth.
She doesn't know where he is.
Right. She's not telling the whole truth.
Right.
Which is the classy thing to do in this context.
Because she's friends with Jen Harvey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So good job not outright lying, which she did. Okay, so Jen has this random friend with her who's like... Well,
can I also just say, I'm pretty sure they pipe in a Pauly D awkward when she comes in. Fake?
They didn't pipe it in, I saw it.
We took it back multiple times. Because
there was a visual.
He moves his mouth, but I don't think he says awkward.
Oh, really?
They're like, we'd like that to be an awkward.
Yeah.
We need to see the Zapruder cut.
That would be...
Yeah.
Take it back. Back to the left. Okay, if Pauly... One of the things I don't like about Pauly, one of the few things, is that he's willing to say things like, awkward, yeah. In an awkward situation.
Right. Yes.
Where it's like, can you shut your mouth right
I think
now?
Even this was so butt-clenchingly awkward. He didn't even.
He's like, I don't think so.
So he says... Awkward, maybe then or maybe not. Jen's got this friend with her. Jen is immediately pleading her case, like, you don't know what it's like. Yes, I blocked Ron. It's because he called me a whore and whatever. 80
they
million
came
times.
In, I'm separated by 2,000 miles and several weeks' time, and I was terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By these two women coming in.
It was like the Furies coming in. But at the same time, like... Jen being scary, I just don't want us to get lost. Ron is doing bad things.
Yes. For sure.
Yeah.
She is also doing bad things. But something that's very tempting if you're a Jersey Shore cast member to believe is that because she's doing bad things, he is totally blameless.
I think they're very clear. I mean, no, I think the editing... makes it seem like he's, like, just having a rough time, and then, like, you find out from Jen that, like, he was texting her, like, 35 insults the whole night, and, like, calling her and, like, threatening to show up at her house and all this
and
stuff.
And then he wrecked her house twice.
But I think Pauly was, like, yes, he wrecked your house, but you wrecked his house. He was, like, they've both done
this
bad things.
This is why
things.
It's toxic. He said,
but
it's
her
toxic.
Wrecking his house. Yeah. Okay, this is,
they
I'm
both
going
did
into
bad
here.
Things.
The friend is like, what? No, she didn't. And Jen is like, yes, I did. I wrecked his TV. Right. I threw a box into his TV. Throwing a box into a millionaire's TV is not the same as what we have seen Ron do in terms of wrecking a house twice.
I will say that I don't think anybody would ever say that Ronnie is not a violent man. We all watched him throw everything that... Sammy Sweetheart, I was like, what's her name?
Oh,
through, like, owned out a window. Like,
destroying
we all watched
everything.
Him
we've
get, like,
him get,
really intense.
We've
and we're all very,
real
very funny, too.
Yeah.
But I think Jen Harley is, like, another level, too. I think she's up there with him. Like, she is dangling
truly,
a child in front of his eyes.
The child thing is bad.
And, like, threatening to keep him from the child. And, like...
That's
I also
very
don't...
Bad.
I think this isn't the... time or place for like a back and forth he said she said
right.
He did this she did this kind of thing. This clearly reinforces and I think we don't see the whole conversation, but I think this is where Pauly is going, is like, this is a toxic situation. This is
I don't think Pauly
I'm sure
saying,
he doesn't actually
like,
say
hey
but,
six and one half dozen the other. I think he's saying like it just we can all agree
work.
It needs to be over.
It doesn't
yeah.
work yeah. Which is why we sent Ron to the lawyer.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why Ron's not here and at a lawyer.
Their situation and Ariana's situation would be so much better if there were two more lawyers instead of zero lawyers.
Yeah.
And if she maybe even lived with the lawyers.
Yeah.
The lawyers split custody.
Yeah. I have a Jersey malapropism for this episode.
Please.
Malapropisms this week.
Snooki definitely called herself an innocent bystander.
Oh, I missed that. That's amazing.
I think. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure.
That's such classic malapro.
It's so close. It's so, she's heard it. She's heard it said.
It's like one letter.
It's
one letter.
Two, one and a half.
Bystander.
Yeah. It's like, it's not
so,
even the word. It's close.
But she is... True, she's right that they're all innocent bystanders, and this is very scary for everyone involved. So then somehow they like seamlessly transition into the going out montage.
Sure, yeah.
Where the girls are taking turns pooping, the boys are taking fiber gummies. What else? They're making fun of each other's shirts. JLo switches from a shredded white V-neck to a fresh white V-neck.
As you pointed out before, Vinny's obsessed with Snooki's hair.
Yeah, can't stop talking about her hair. Yeah, exactly.
This was another, like, anxiety one for me, because I was like, she's coming back. She's coming back in, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, leave Ron to deal with it.
I'm like, well, but surely you'll stay with Ron till...
Right.
Till she comes.
And she was coming in hot. Like, they saw exactly where she was coming from. Like, she was not...
She had her hair up.
Yeah.
Ron is not equipped for this.
So, let's see. So, Ron comes back. He's got a lawyer and a priest. Oh, yeah, right. They're making fun of Vinny for buttoning up his shirt all the way.
Oh, yeah.
Polly makes a Sam joke right then. I don't remember what it was, but that's what's in my notes.
He's like, all right, I'll clear out before Sam gets... Oh, I mean Jen. Or something like that, yeah. He's like, Sam was never anything like this.
Sam never did anything like that.
Sam was,
yeah.
First of all, Sam was under birth control.
Like, leave her alone.
She's a sweetheart.
Yeah, she's... As much as, like, that's a tongue-in-cheek thing, she was a sweetheart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Compared to everyone else on this horrible thing. And then, yeah, so then they go to Rivoli's.
Vinny's they go to like Vegas' trying to... answer to Rivoli's. It's actually called the Casa de Something, in case you want to go.
Because
Casa de Something, please make your reservation.
Our somebody notes are not complete.
Somebody in Vegas was like, have you heard about this place in Seaside Heights called Rivoli's? We gotta answer that in some way.
We need something.
And we should probably name it something Spanish.
Raviolis. Yeah. No, Casa di... Well, Casa
I guess Casa is also Italian.
There is sort of a spiritual connection between the Atlantic coast of New Jersey and Las Vegas. They're both two of the historic gambling centers in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume there's some sort of mob connection.
Yeah, and they're also both connected to the mob, I guess.
Chances are, yes. Yeah, so they order a bunch of food. Vinny tries to be generous, but still wants to limit it. Mike wants to add it on. Everybody's mad at Vinny for being...
Mike does the great move of like, Snooki asked about the hot and cold.
She asked about it, so she wants it.
Yeah, and Snooki was very clear. He's like, I asked about it. I don't eat it. And he was like, she wanted it. She asked about it, so she wants it.
Dear God. So that's one huge drama that's unfolding, but at the same time...
It was so funny.
The episode ends with Jen coming back into the room, Ron telling her to calm down, which is like, you know, it's good that he was calm when he said that.
Yeah, but he's, yeah.
But you can't just tell someone else to get on your level and expect them to, and like that makes you the bigger person.
His guy lights are all out of whack. I feel like there was some yelling that was edited out. Like, right? Like,
A lot was edited out. Because like, if you notice, the audio loop was insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She said the same thing like 8 times.
Yeah.
It was the same clip.
Yeah.
And then she spits in his face.
Yeah. And like maybe hits him with her mic pack.
She pulled
her mic pack off her back. As she was maybe throwing a punch or something.
And this was Jackie's thing as a film insider.
Yeah, I'm a real insider.
Ooh, hot take.
Jackie went to film school. She knows about reality TV.
And graduated.
That's most of what they do in...
I didn't.
In film school is now they just talk about reality TV.
But, amen.
Yeah, so in my directing classes at film school, I learned that in reality TV, the producers who were being so helpful to Ronnie, like in the hallway and trying to be like his friend, they had to turn around like moments later and call this woman and be like, all right, we're going to need you here at 8:30.
That's so true.
So
like they
crazy.
Fully gave her a call time.
Yeah.
They put a microphone on her. Would you be willing to come back? It was like, come back.
Yeah.
She storms in like it's natural, but they're like, okay, it's going to make great TV. You're going to come back while Ronnie's alone. We're going to mic you up so we can hear
everything
you say. Right,
because they mic'd her up before she stormed in.
Yeah, we're not going to put a security person between you unless you do something really bad.
And they open the door for her like a bull going into a fight. Like, they open it and she comes in, like, bucking. Like, she is, like, ready. Yeah. It's like she was, like, scratching at the door
behind the scenes, they probably got her all... They probably got her all fired up behind the scenes, too. They were like,
You know, Ron, you're a whore. He put a thing on Instagram with a mug that says Jersey Whore. And he said, I tagged you on it. Did you know that?
They're like, yo, use that again.
We can reuse that. They're definitely getting riled up. All right, go now. Open it up.
And she's like, ah! She's like, mad. She comes, storming in.
Yeah, she was furious.
Yeah.
He's mad at her because she left the baby with a friend, but, like, honestly, that was probably a smart move. Of
course. I mean, any moment that baby is not with either of them, it's doing well.
Yeah, leave her with the librarian or something. Anyone. Just leave her anywhere else.
Leave her on a stoop.
Put her in a basket, leave her on a stoop.
There's a lot of people who really want it. I don't want to sound bad, but there's a lot of people who really want to try. They're doing a really good job.
That kid's really cute.
I feel like that's that makes me think back to the Angelina coming out of season one, part one.
Yeah.
Like this, it's the same situation of like door opens and she's like already halfway through the, you still think I'm the dirty little hamster?
Yeah. Right. And then you're like a perfect
what
shot
if
of her.
With someone other than Mike had opened the door or something.
It's so clear that neither of them has been on television for 10 years. Like it's, that was, I was, I fucked that up. But you know what I mean?
That's
like,
great.
It's like, so clear that they like are both uncomfortable in front of a camera.
Yeah.
They just don't have the seasoning.
They tumble in and they're both like almost spiking the lens. Like you're not really sure what's happening.
Also like the beat between action and you talking is like rushed.
Well, and they also take a deep breath between things too. Like
the way that she's arguing with Ronnie is also so clearly she's like, I'm not going to get to be on TV. I'm going to get to be on TV 10% of the time you're going to get to be on TV.
So I got to get all my stuff.
I've got to list all the stuff you did. Right. She's just listing stuff. Right. Like, because she's like, I might only get 45 seconds of stage time this week, and he's going to be bitching about me for a
week.
And
she's like posing throughout. Like she's like doing a thing to like be like, this is who I am.
So
this is like, this is the Jen Harley story in 5 seconds.
It's like, so performative.
Yeah. It's so
But it's so based on real, true drama.
Oh, yeah.
There's
totally,
a child.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's how, like, I think that's, like, how both she and Ron interact with people, is that, like, there's real heavy stuff going on in both of their lives, but the only way that they can, like, interact with each other and argue is, like, by scoring points.
Yeah.
It's like, well said.
Okay, so thank you. So there we are. That's the end of the episode. Now, Jackie, you're not usually on the show, but I understand you have a grievance from last episode relating to a story about chips and fries.
I had a grievance. I was like, what?
Like, I actually didn't.
Wait, what? My story? My perfect story?
Your perfect story. It was literally just that I Googled it while you guys were talking about it, and you were both wrong. It's a myth.
It's a
like,
myth.
It's like a Snopes.com reveal.
To be fair, Jackie had said that I was more correct about the story. Okay. but that it was a myth.
I will say that Snopes.com is our new sponsor, so so I had to say this. The myth was that Cornelius Vanderbilt was a picky customer and went into a restaurant, and the chef's name was Crumb. I don't remember his first name.
Great.
And
I love this.
And they were like, and he was like, I need my potato chips, or my potatoes thinner and thinner, and they ended up being potato chips.
And they're like,
chips.
Did you say potato chips?
And they were like, potato, huh?
Hope you wanted potato crisps.
The only real part of it, apparently, is that Crumb was the chef who like brought them to popularity. But they were not; they were already in existence even before that. And Cornelius Vanderbilt had nothing to do with it, apparently.
Oh, people were already selling bags of chips before
happened. The like first potato chip bag company, like people that were bagging potato chips, existed far prior to. And
your Cornelius Lay's.
Your Utz of the 19th
your
century.
Your Utz. I forget the name of it, but I can come up with it. And Cornelius Vanderbilt had an alibi for the time that they said that he was there. It was not he was elsewhere. I don't know.
I was counting my money in my bank.
I don't know my facts.
Cornelius Vanderbilt was in Hawaii inventing the sandwich.
He invented.
Well, because honestly, when you think about it, chips are like a pretty obvious, delicious thing to make.
Right.
So, and like, if you're trying to save like money, which they always were, like, you'd get a billion chips out of one potato.
Yeah.
Where do you guys associate?
They don't know where French fries.
Where do you guys associate potatoes with the most?
Like
what
which
country?
Food
what
prep?
Country do you associate potatoes with the most?
Ireland.
They're from North America. I mean, they're a big thing in Ireland. So they had the big potato famine. Yeah, but like tomatoes, we associate with Italian cooking. They're American.
Tomatoes. Okay. Well, I'm getting this from a kid in King Arthur's court. So
I'm Googling.
Correct me if
I'm
wrong here, but
Google it.
Nightshade things, including tomatoes, did exist in Europe. I understand, but everybody thought they were poisonous, so they didn't eat them for a long time.
Then
maybe the Native Americans in America were like, no, you can eat them.
My understanding was that tomatoes are part of the nightshade family, and most of the nightshade family is poisonous, but that tomatoes are unique to North America, and it took a while for, like, white people to get comfortable with the idea of eating them.
White people take so long.
But potatoes are definitely North American.
Wow. Not even, like, sweet potatoes? Corn. Straight up potatoes?
Straight up potatoes.
Now, what about, okay, this was always a thing for me that was really just screwed me my mind. Okay, I was always like, oh, well, horses are such an American thing. But apparently they were brought over by conquistadors.
Same with pigs, yeah, horses, right? And pigs. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Pigs.
Mm-hmm.
I've also pigs been going European. Around, now that we're telling all, I have been going around telling people that rhinoceros horns were made out of hardened hair, because I had heard that.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's wrong. It's what's sure the name for like chitin? What goes
like a
into your
nail.
Chitin? Yeah, it's
chitin?
Like
chitin.
Not that exactly, but whatever. Like see, a scientific
keratin.
Yes, it's keratin. So it's similar, but it's not
made out of
hair.
The same stuff, but structured differently.
Exactly.
That counts.
As a carrot.
It's like a fingernail.
It's like a big carrot.
Like a if a carrot had a fingernail, that would be a rhinoceros horn. Do you understand? Are you following me? Jackie, what's the word?
Wait, what are you looking at?
Tomatoes.
Oh, no, I didn't look it up. Sorry, I was trying to remember the name of the paper.
She's studiously
the
on her phone.
Jackie's on daily.jstor.org.
I love
that's
she's going on
reputable
JSTOR.
Reputable source, okay.
All right.
Go
guys,
on NexusLexus.
We'll get back to you about tomatoes. Obviously, it's very relevant to the pod.
But also, write in. Like, what do you know about food? What do you like about food?
Just send us a random fact, and we're going to probably include it.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
We'll tell it like it's reality, whether or not it is.
It's reality TV, isn't
reality
it?
Reality TV, yeah.
Because we're not going to have Jackie to fact check us next time, so we'll just say whatever
we'll see.
That's right.
Well, and who knows if my facts are real? I'm just saying shit over here.
Oh, were there
here.
Any missed
again,
opportunities?
Again, I'm here for 30 seconds. No
for
one
jokes?
Oh, missed jokes.
Yeah, missed joke opportunities in this one?
This was a pretty serious episode.
Yeah.
Any blackjack type of... No.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, look, it didn't happen.
Oh, so at one point, I will say this. At one point, like, JWoww was explaining the rules of blackjack, and I think she said, like, an ace and a king, queen, or a jack is 21, or, like, is a blackjack. And, like, they cut to, like some of the guys being like, what? And it's like, no, that's right.
Yeah, that's correct. Snooki's big thing was she was confused when the dealer would get a blackjack. She was like, oh, nice, we won.
Yeah, yeah.
Aww.
I love
Snooki
it.
Snooki doesn't want to be on the opposite team as a dealer. It's so fun.
I love it. She's a sweetheart. Snooki sweetheart.
She is Snooki sweetheart. By the way, while I'm talking about everybody's looks, I think that JWoww and Snooki look great. In a couple of weeks, something happened. Their plastic surgery went down.
Do you?
Down.
Because I've been thinking Snooki's lips are out of control.
Oh, they are. But I think she looks better than last season somehow, which was 3 weeks ago.
Maybe
yeah.
We're just more
she
used to it.
She and JWoww. Mostly
Las
JWoww.
Vegas light.
Yeah.
I do
light.
Agree. I think that it might just be that we're more used to it, but I do think that something about Snooki looks... Her face looks more at peace.
JWoww's too. JWoww especially. JWoww looks literally
Jackie's,
like she's deflating.
This is Jackie's whole thing, is that JWoww looks so much better. I don't really see a difference with JWoww.
In the confessional, I don't. But for some reason on camera, I do.
Well, she's gone back to fair her... Enough. She had a sensible lob and glasses at
she
the beginning
doing
of part
big, like,
one. And now she's sort of back to her
glasses.
Extensions off the shoulder peasant dress.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's
she knows
maybe
what
it's
sells,
hair.
And
maybe
I think she's gone
hair.
Back to a more youthful look.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which she
I'm
was
fine.
Looking like crazy last season, and now she's looking
I
right.
Need JWoww to
now she's
settle
looking normal and acting
down.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Which is worse.
Settle down.
All right, guys.
We did it.
I think this is all we need. I think we're really good. Jackie, thank you so much for being here. This was really good.
Yeah,
thank
I think we're good with you, Jackie. Me. I think that's all we need to know.
Okay, go. Go now.
All right, stay tuned for the second hour of the podcast where we just talk about Jackie. How weird she was.
Wasn't Jackie a freak? I hated it. Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. We love you.
Bye.
All right, we got a situation.
I'm the sweetest bitch you'll ever meet.
After I have sex with a guy, I will rip their heads off. Go, baby! Go, baby!